I neglected to thank someone special this morning who is not in Traverse City. We thank Pastor Sally Harrington for being here this morning, not only with music, but to lead us in communion, and we're very thankful for that, for her. Jesus, Moses, and an old bearded man were playing golf. On the first tee, Moses shanked his ball into a lake. He parted the water and hit his ball onto the green. Jesus teed off, hitting his ball into another water hazard. But he walked on water and stroked his ball just short of the cup. Then the old man with the beard stepped up for his tee shot. He hit his ball with tremendous force, but hooked it badly. The ball bounced off the clubhouse roof, hit the cart path, and rolled down a hill into a pond, coming to rest on a lily pad. A frog hopped over and picked up the ball. Then an eagle swooped down, snatched the frog, and flew over the green. The frog dropped the ball, and it rolled into the cup for a hole in one. Moses turned to Jesus and said, "I hate playing golf with your dad." Now I can take a breath and you can take a breath, and I would ask you to join me in prayer. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. I have been a lay speaker in the United Methodist Church for several years now, but if you ask to see a resume or a credential that allowed me to be here this morning, I think what I would like you to read on it is that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I am a believer, a sinner saved by the amazing unconditional love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. For 52 years, I was a proud member of Birchwood United Methodist Church. And now for almost 1 year, I have been a proud member of Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. It'll be a year on July 1st. I will speak a little bit more about that in a bit, but I want to share with you a story of a lighthouse. Many years ago, there was a little village on a rocky seacoast where storms often battered and seas were ever treacherous. Many ships were driven onto the rocks by the storms, and the lives of many sailors were lost because of the raging seas. One day, the people decided among themselves that they should establish a lighthouse and a life-saving station on a little peninsula on the coast to warn ships away from the rocks and to save the lives of those who were cast into the icy waters. They approached the government and began to secure the necessary funds for their project. Soon they set forth and built a tower and set a beacon in it. They organized a lookout system. They bought boats and learned how to man them, and soon they were in business. The business of saving lives. Soon the effects of what they were doing became known far and wide. Fewer ships went on the rocks. And when such a tragedy did occur and the alarm was sounded, the people risked their own lives to rescue those who had been cast into the raging icy waters. Within a few short years, people came from great distance to study their lighthouse and to use it as a model. One day, someone suggested, since they all spent so much time at the lighthouse, that they should gather there occasionally and even enjoy good fellowship. And soon they began to get together, at least infrequently, and then more often at the lighthouse. In fact, many people began to build their homes near the lighthouse. Then, when the lookout sounded the alarm, they were there, ready to go out. Next, it was decided that if they were going to spend so much time there, they must make the place more comfortable. So arrangements were made to heat the lighthouse. The gray walls were painted a brilliant white. Some of the walls were paneled. Rugs were put on the floors to disguise the bare concrete. A fine kitchen was installed with a handsome stove. And generally speaking, the lighthouse became a nice place to spend your time waiting for the alarm to be sounded. Everything about the lighthouse was made comfortable and nice. The lighthouse soon became the center of life in the little town that grew up around it. One night, a fierce storm blew in, as storms had blown in for years. Many ships were tossed on the jagged rocks, and the men at the lighthouse spent long hours picking sailors from the bitter cold icy waters and taking them to the lighthouse, where they were fed and provided with dry clothing. This had happened many times over the years, but this time, after the storm subsided and the sailors had all left the lighthouse, there were some men who were angry. It seems the storm had made them leave the comfort of the lighthouse and go out into the wet, dangerous seas, and they got cold, very cold. The sailors, when they were delivered to the lighthouse, soiled the carpets. The kitchen was a mess, not to mention the stove. And after a brief meeting, it was decided that sailors, when they were brought to the lighthouse, should be taken to the basement, not to the nice upper areas. Sometime later, another storm blew in, and about one half of the men went out in the boats and again picked sailors from the frigid waters. This time, the ship, which had broken apart on the rocks, was from another nation, and the men who manned her spoke another language, and even worse, were of a different color. After this storm, a few more men joined those who refused to enter the sea. They decided that men like these did not belong in the lighthouse at all. Some said they felt that the lighthouse's job was not supposed to be saving sailors from other lands because they were so different. There were those, too, who objected to leaving the comfort of the lighthouse to go out into the storm. These men petitioned the government, and they also agreed. So finally, it was decided that the beacon would be kept lit, but the rescue work would be discontinued. A small group disagreed, however, and went down the coast a short distance and started a new lighthouse. The small group decided that they should establish the biggest life-saving station on the little peninsula, and so they did. Every day they warned ships and sometimes attempted to save lives from the icy water. Fame of the new lighthouse grew, and the lighthouse back up the bay eventually turned out its beacon. Some people say the beacon can still be seen today in you and I. And oh yes, they also say the small group running the new lighthouse were those once rescued from the raging sea. We, as people, all have a choice to make with regard to our rescue work. We can choose to allow our lives to become comfortable, and we can find ourselves very content. And oftentimes, we may find that we have turned out our beacon of hope for one another. Or perhaps, I hope and pray that we find ourselves lighting and saving the path of others, both in our words and deeds. So let's take just a few minutes to think about some key points of the story and how they might relate to us today. The first point being that the people of the lighthouse knew what their business was, knew what they were about. They were in the business of saving lives. As we are, the church, the body of Christ, our mission at this church and in the denomination of the United Methodist Church in general is to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The people had a plan. They did the research that they needed to do, and they built the lighthouse that became a model for others. I watched and listened and joined others in prayer as the plan for the merging of three churches unfolded and came to be, really, in a relatively short amount of time. With God's leading, it was amazing how many worked so long and hard and willingly to put the plan together. I think we were a surprise to the district and the conference folks, and will, I feel certain, serve as a model for others in the future should the need arise. But there's a red flag here, there's a caution as well, that we not get too comfortable, too satisfied, or get priorities of purpose mixed up. A little mess, or a lot of mess, noise and inconvenience can mean that life is happening around us, that purpose is being fulfilled. And truly, all must be welcome, equally welcome and encouraged. The light of Christ's love must shine for all. On Sunday mornings, I take notes and I hope to go home with a nugget or two that I find is a blessing for me as I go about my week. Well, on March 17th, Pastor Chad gave me one of those that I gave us one of those that I have written in the cover of my favorite Bible at home. He said, "If Jesus doesn't make us different, what difference does Jesus make?" Jesus is the good news, and we need to proclaim it. The light of Christ's love through God and caring people have brought me through darkness and storms in my life. And I think, like those who built the second lighthouse, those who had already been saved from the storms, God blesses us to be a blessing for others when they are going through stormy and tough times. My husband and I were blessed to go last year on a Gaither cruise, and we had a wonderful time, wonderful fellowship, worship, and music, and there was one song that spoke so much to me, written by Bill and Gloria Gaither and Larry Gatlin, and sung by the Nelsons. You will be fortunate and blessed to know that I will not attempt to sing that song. But I want to share with you the words. The title is "Excuse Me, Are You Jesus?" I was racing through the airport to make an early flight. I wanted to get home to see my children and my wife. I rushed around the corner. An apple stand was there. Until I knocked it over, the fruit went everywhere. At first, I kept on going. I just couldn't miss the plane. I looked over my shoulder, not stopping to explain. A girl was down there on her knees, groping round to find the apples scattered on the floor. Then I saw the girl was blind. As my plane was leaving, I stopped to lend a hand. I picked up all the apples, restored the apple stand. To replace the bruised and broken, in her fingers placed some bills. As I hugged her narrow shoulders, she reached to hold me still and said, "Excuse me, are you Jesus? Is that why you were so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus, to have had me on your mind?" You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. You put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart. Once I was bruised and broken, blind and groping on my way, when someone stopped to help me, paid the damage, made me say, "Excuse me, are you Jesus? Is that why you were so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus, to have had me on your mind?" You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. You put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart. Many brothers and sisters have been Jesus to my heart. And as God continues to lead us, and we have the willingness to grow and shine our Christ light, we can remain in vital ministry with each other and beyond. When I first came to Chapel Hill, I was struck by the number of opportunities for outreach that were already in place. And I'm excited for the birthing of the Trinity Neighborhood Center. And we will see how God leads if we are to help people with needs for affordable housing in the future. And perhaps more than one person will say to us, "You were Jesus to my heart." And as my husband and I and a few of you walk through these maturing years, we have the discussion sometimes of those feelings of frustration that we can't do all the things that we used to do so often or so readily, but I am here to encourage you that there are so many things to be done to still bear fruit for Christ and shine his light. Making calls and visits and notes, encouraging words and prayers are vital, and their value can't be measured. So in closing, I say to you that I think above the noise and din of differing thoughts and opinions is the voice of God continuing to say to us, feed my lambs. Keep shining the light of resurrection, hope, and faith. Reach out to the needs of others in my name and to my glory. Amen.